Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West.
TV, like permanent TV and surround sound and all that out there. Fun. So I'm like, itching.
That's party time. That's good fun. So Billy P went to the D.
Billy P did go to the D.
Billy P had a little adventure this past week and got to go see the boys play live. And you've got a lot of great points. The first one that stuck out to me, and you're going to get into your game one review here in a minute, but you sent me a text. The Padres didn't land until 1 a.m. Are you making excuses for them?
I'm not making any excuses. It was more kind of a what the, hey, MLB baseball. You have them play on Sunday night in Houston for ESPN, and travel happens. Travel's hard, especially when you're involving airplanes. And apparently they didn't land until 1 a.m. No excuses whatsoever. It's more kind of a scheduling kind of head scratch.
Totally.
Now, I did read deeper into this, and the reason for a lot of these scheduling, I'm going to call them oddities, is because of the hurricane that happened in the Tampa Bay St. Pete area, and they're front-loading games for the Rays this year at Steinbrenner Field because it's an outdoor field.
Okay.
And they're very concerned about tsunami-like conditions and oppressive heat and humidity come the summer months. So if you look at the schedule, and I don't have the numbers in front of me because sure, I wasn't necessarily planning on going deep into the Rays, but they've played more home games than any other squad.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to travel a lot in the what we quote unquote call the dog days, or let's just call it Father's Day through Labor Day. And basically the schedules, I did this deep dive on schedule, and I have all these quirks for you. We could probably do an entire pod on it. Hopefully I answered your question.
I think you got it. I think that there's no excuses though. A little travel snafu. I bet just about every team gets pinched like that throughout the season to some degree or another on a bad cross country deal or something along those lines. But so you went, you sat through a few games at the old ballpark at Copa, and you got to see, what a great series, actually, even though we didn't sweep, but we got 2 out of 3 from what everybody's kind of calling the number one team in baseball coming into this series. What did you see? Give me your game one recap, your thoughts.
I did see the best team in baseball, but I also saw a team that can go toe-to-toe with the best team in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And that being said, it was a series win for the Tigers. And we'll talk about the highs and lows, but Monday night they won 6-4. Again, no excuses, but it's unfortunate the Padres didn't have better travel plans or ESPN couldn't flex the game, so on and so forth. That being said, that night everybody clicked on O. The offense had 11 hits. More importantly, because you and I are still stat heads, sabermet, metric followers. I don't know if we subscribe to the Church of Bill James, but they had 7 walks. And the bullpen has been lights out. And so I have a trivia question for you. When was the last earned run the Tigers bullpen gave up?
Ooh. Oh, boy. I don't even think I could. Well, I don't know. I'm not even going to try to take a stab at it. It had to be like 5-6 games ago. Not even?
It would be more? 1 week tomorrow.
Wow.
I'll give you a softball now. Okay. Guess who gave it up?
Your guy, Tyler Holton.
No, not my guy. Your guy from Minnesota.
It was the Maeda game when he imploded in the ninth inning and we had to pull him in the middle of the ninth in like a 7-1 game. Oh, God. You know what? I should have been able to guess all that. I can't believe our pen hasn't given up a run since that game, though. That's incredible.
And the guy that probably shouldn't even be part of the rotation or the pen was the guy that gave up the run, and he only had, it was Kenta. A low leverage situation. They didn't even put him in a high leverage situation.
Just disgusting. That makes it even worse that was the last earned run given up. Because how long would it have been prior to that?
Don't know.
I can't remember the, I mean, yeah, I don't need it. But
anyhow.
That's crazy.
To wrap up Monday night, and I'll give you a couple notes on this. I've come to the conclusion, and I've long been a fan of it, a triple in Major League Baseball is the most exciting play. I know home runs, it's like a good drive in golf, you know? Like, everybody's impressed when you, you know, hit it plus 275, yeah. plus 300, so yeah. on and so forth. But the triple, you have to hit it to the right part of the ballpark, and you have to have agility and speed on the base paths to actually execute it. Not to mention a little bit of luck. And Zach McKinstry, he may not be the fastest player in Major League Baseball, but he's up there. And he delivered on a triple Monday night that...
He had a monster game.
Yeah, it just had me...
Home run away from the cycle. Seat.
Yeah, he just has been balling out and playing great. I'll give you a couple Comerica kudos. Because
yeah.
this is going to be a very, very, very positive
You went to this first game, right?
I went to all three.
You went to all three games?
Oh, yeah.
God, you're living a life of luxury.
I am living the life of Riley.
That is incredible. Riley Green?
What's that?
Maybe not quite Riley Green.
No, I was thinking the life more of Riley. Rick Riley, like Sports Illustrated. You okay. know, his end column in Sports That's Illustrated right. back in the day was the life of Riley. All right, so I've got all sorts of good notes for you. So if you want food, I did go with Cousin Nick to both Lafayette and American Coney Island, and we had one coney.
Who won?
Each. Well, hold on. Let
okay. Paint the paint. Go on. Okay, paint okay. the picture.
Yeah. And we went to American first, and we ordered a beer and one coney, and they were totally cool with it. They had Stroh's in the bottle, which was exquisite.
That
I
is.
I mean, it doesn't get any more Detroit than that.
That is exquisite.
They also had Faygo in the can, should you not want to have an alcoholic beverage.
So this is an all Detroit meal, basically.
And it was wonderful.
It was a very Stroh's and a coney dog.
Not too salty.
Okay.
The onions were proportionate. The mustard was on the lighter side, but it let the other flavors go through. Steamed bun, lightly grilled. It was fantastic. The help was great. Very helpful. Nice guys. We went next door, and their first question was, oh, you came from next door. You're doing the head-to-head. We're going to win.
Wow. Kind of like gauntlet thrown.
In line
the chili
in the sand.
Was thrown.
First question we asked is, we would like two ice-cold Stroh's, please. And they said, we don't have Stroh's. Strike one.
Oh, boy.
We ordered Labatt in the can.
Canadian.
Very acceptable. Okay. Very acceptable.
Okay.
But not is Detroit. It's more Windsor, right?
Yeah, Windsor.
So we get our dogs. We ordered one each, and they looked at us like we had a third eye. They were fully expecting us to order two and couldn't believe that we were going to order, or not order, fries, chili cheese fries, a pie, whatever, a donut. I don't know. They were really trying to upsell us.
They're really going to try to gorge you.
Three people asked us who was better and really pushed it to the point that Cousin Nick and I just had to say, you guys win, even though they didn't win.
Even though they didn't win.
No, they used too much mustard. I would say the chili's a wash. I'd say the onions are a wash. The difference is the dog. The skin casing on the American has a tighter snap and bite. Oh. It's less salty, and it has a smoke flavor reminiscent, and this is a Cousin Nick and I. There's a place called Ben's Chili Bowl in the north side, the cool side of sure. Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And they do something called the half smoke. It tasted reminiscent of the half smoke, and it was absolutely fantastic. Hands down, American was
American
the winner.
American won. American and beat Lafayette. And I, growing up, was a Lafayette Coney guy.
I think we all were.
Preferably. I mean, I think maybe we all were. I can remember leaving for lunch in high school and going down to Lafayette Coney in Detroit and having enough time to get the dog, jam it into my mouth, and get back to school. That was all we had time for. I had indigestion for the entire afternoon.
I had indigestion the entire evening. But I didn't have to drive back to the parking lot.
Didn't have to drive 25, 30 minutes
Don
back
Juan,
to school.
The parking lot attendant.
Good reference. Good reference. We might need to save that for another day. I don't want to hear about the Copa food selections, the Copa cuisine yet. Mm-hmm. I want to wait till the end for that because I want to expand on it a little bit and see what your thoughts were because you did text me something about hot dogs. We're going to talk about it at the end though. And maybe give a little story. So game one, they won 6-4. They got another decent pitching performance out of Keiter Montero. Got guys hitting hard balls all over the place. McKinstry, Green, Torque, all doing damage at the plate. Colt got a hit. I mean, I thought maybe we're turning the corner, but no, probably not. A great game all the way around. Game two was the bats just took a night off. I'm going to say that. That said, I want you to go in and look at Pivetta's stats for the season at this point. Nick Pivetta is on a freaking tear as a pitcher right now. He's got a 1-2 ERA. He's pitching at a pace he's never pitched at before in his career. He's 4-1, 1-2 ERA. He gave up. We got two hits off him and two walks. That's it for us. Pivetta's lights out right now. I don't know if he keeps that going all season long. If he's not claimed in your fantasy league, maybe look him up. Might be able to get him if he's still hanging around out there. I highly doubt he is based on how he started the first month of this season. This is a guy who's like, I mean, he's a middle fours ERA guy. Okay. I don't know what clicked for him in San Diego this year, but he's crushing it. And it didn't take much offense for them. I mean, they got nothing off of Flaherty. Flaherty goes 6-5 hits, 2 runs, 9 Ks, gave up a home run. You know, gave up a home run to Elias Diaz, 2-run shot, and that was it. That was the difference in the whole game. Had an interesting read. Elias Diaz was in the 7th spot. Had an interesting read about somebody today on Twitter. I cannot remember the gentleman's name. Brought up your worst hitter should be batting in the 7th spot now. Your worst hitter should be in the 7th spot, not the 9th spot, like everybody traditionally considers the 9th spot for the worst hitter. Your worst hitter is in the 7th spot. Your good hitters should be in the 9th spot, setting up the top of the order. Found that interesting because we have touched on the 9th spot in the order a couple times over the last couple of weeks in the pod here. But I just noticed Elias Diaz was in the 7th spot and hit that darn home run. So if he's their worst hitter and he's in that spot, okay. He is batting 190. So it looks like he just ran into one off Flaherty there or something. I actually did not see the home run, but the game went real fast. Probably the quickest game I think I've seen in a while. What are your take? You were at this one.
Yeah, nobody clicked on it. 3 hits, 2 walks. Here's the thing. Flaherty was great.
Yeah.
Because the man on that inning was Jace Young getting a very difficult ball and getting it to Torque, low scoop.
Interesting.
And Torque just didn't get it.
Didn't get it.
Usually
okay.
He does get to it.
Yeah,
it
he's been scooping pretty well. If the guys put it anywhere close, he usually gets it.
He didn't. And then Flaherty hung his slider, which he was dealing all night.
He made the one mistake, and they took advantage of it.
He had 96 pitches, I believe, that night. He threw 95 great pitches, and he had one that hung, and that was the difference. On that, can I just make one quick comment?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It wasn't as present night one. If you go back, and for our listeners, please go back to any highlights when the Tigers are at bat and tell me what the Padres catcher's outfit that yellow looks like. Is he the yellow Power Ranger? Is he a Tonka truck? Or is he Bumblebee from Transformers?
Oh, dear.
I mean, we need graphics for it, but go back. It was obnoxious.
Go find some Game 2 footage.
Yeah. So just that was my last thought on Tuesday night's game.
So I'll give you my last thought. As you were saying earlier, bullpen, lights out. Bailey Horn looked awesome. He was great. Went 1.1 innings, gave up a hit, 2 Ks. He was crazy good. I mean, and another gentleman by the name of Chase Lee made his major league debut. And Chase Lee's kind of an interesting story. I'd never seen this guy before. He looks like he's about 110 pounds soaking wet. Comes running in. I did not know much about Chase Lee, admittedly. I think I remember catching a little bit of him in spring training and didn't think that much. But so Chase Lee's University of Alabama product, goes out for the baseball team at Alabama freshman year. A guy just looks at him and says, yeah, you got nothing. Benetti's telling this story on the broadcast. You got nothing special. So I went back and looked, and sure enough, like, didn't make the team. Develops a sidearm delivery, and it launches him into the stratosphere. Next thing you know, he's playing Major League Baseball, and he has one. He's a solid submariner. He was definitely more effective against the right-hand batters than the left that he faced. He got two walks. He got his first, he went 1.2 innings, walked two, got his first Major League K, which is pretty cool to see. His whole family was there going absolutely crazy. His wife, his baby, his mom, his dad. And he ended up, I think by the end of it, I mean, 1.2 innings. I mean, he closed out the game for the most part, and we couldn't come back and put any runs on the board. But it was kind of cool to see this guy with this unique story of kind of not being able to cut in college, then changing to sidearm, and the next thing you know, he's a major league pitcher.
So I moved towards the bullpen when I saw him warming up and sat right above it to see it. It is the filthiest pitch I've ever seen.
Yeah, he had some nasty. How
it literally looks like it's coming directly
frisbee
head,
stuff. Yeah,
and then it drops somewhere below your knees, but is in the strike zone. To your point,
he threw a few frisbees up there that were definitely untouchable.
It depends on which side of the plate you're hitting from. He is going to give. Righties were going to be nightmare.
Yeah. Righties. And it looked like it was very uncomfortable to stand in there as a righty.
Yeah, no, and I batted righty, and I mean, I just sat there, the entire crowd looking at the bullpen, watching him pitch. We could not fathom how anybody would get a hit off him. And nobody hit him whatsoever. It was, he just was a little bit wild. And quite frankly, he wasn't getting the most generous strike zone, but you know, the ump calls what the ump calls.
He got squeezed a little. He did get squeezed on a few. Which for a young pitcher is tough. He did turn a pretty cool double play where I think it was in the first inning when he came out, first batter or two, he got a guy to line out to the right back to him on the mound, and he fired it over to first to double a guy off. So that was kind of a cool way for him to get out of that inning pretty easy with minimal pitches.
Absolutely.
Game three, Bill.
6-0 win. It should have been a lot more. Bases were loaded in the first, one out, and the Tigers meekly got out of that. That being said, they still scored two runs and then put on four more throughout the game. I get to do my drum roll. Dylan Dingler hit a dinger, and he does have the best walk-up music of all time. I kid you not. He plays Stevie Nicks' Edge of 17.
That's fascinating. I wonder why that one.
Who knows? The only person that I can even think that had something is obscure was Gordon Beckham, second baseman for the Chicago White Sox.
Okay.
Walked up to the outfields. Josie went on a vacation far, far away or whatever it was.
That's also fantastic.
Yeah. That's not the name of the song.
Does anybody roll up to the plate with just some Steely Dan in the background?
God, that would be
like what? How
we
incredible!
Need more yacht rock. We need
more
so
yacht,
much
rock
yacht rock
for walk-up music.
Baseball, yeah.
I wonder if they have a suggestion box somewhere. I could drop that in. So we had a Dingler dinger. That's always good to see.
10 hits, only one walk, which is weird. But quite frankly, the reason being is the Padres served up meatballs the entire day. And the Padres bullpen's formidable. And they just, quite frankly, could not get outs in any way, shape, or form. I would categorize it as the best win of the season. It was also close to 80 degrees. We were in the sun. Oh, cousin
so
Nick and I, short sleeves.
Boy.
We both like wore jeans and kind of wish we hadn't. And we just had a great day.
There's a lot of man happy out there.
Yeah, yeah. I got to give kudos. Slo's Barbecue is now at Comerica. I got the put me in coach, which is brisket, pickles, onions on a Martin's roll, the potato roll, and it was fantastic. And my counterpart got the Yardbird, which is a barbecued chicken, like onion straws and a little mustard sauce on it. So they've done a great job getting what I think is some of the best barbecue.
The Copa cuisine
is
ratcheting up there a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And it was super easy. You just walked up, they made the sandwich, they slid it over to you, and it was self-checkout. And the D's very, very lax. Like, you can grab a beer from, like, say, a 16-ounce can from any one of the, you know, kiosks, check it out. And they're like, hey, excuse me, sir, could you please open that? And you're like,
yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, they do that at some of the. But they
don't open it for you where, quite frankly, you know.
It's like they have a monitor there just to make sure you open it and then you can walk away with it.
They couldn't have been more kind. And I do have to give one more kudo. They serve Bell's Two Hearted Ale, which I believe is close to 7% or so.
And it's the beer experience. IPA. The beer experience IPA. Is a little better than it probably was 20, 25 years ago at the ballpark.
I was going to compliment just the city of Detroit and Michiganders everywhere, Tigers fans, for the fact that they serve a beer like that. If you served it at, I don't know, Wrigley, I can't imagine people being able to make it to the seventh inning. Everybody was fine. Everybody was absolutely fine. So I just have to say that kudos to both staff.
A well-behaved crowd, an involved crowd. But you know what I want to know about? Well, where are you going to go right now? What were you about to channel into?
I've got a couple more notes, and then I will answer your question.
All right. Go ahead. Give me your notes.
Okay.
Give me your notes.
We have a new revelation. Hobby's actually really, really good in center field.
It's pleasant. At a time of need, our $24 million superstar is showing up.
He was just in the wrong position all this time.
He was just in the wrong position all this time.
And I do have to say, we were towards that side of the field, the third base side, and Riley Green gave a standing ovation, meaning he took his glove in hand and clapped it when Baez made that amazing catch in center field. The other thing is Reese Olson's an absolute stud.
He was so good. Oh my gosh, was he good in game
couldn't
three.
Get anybody out with his fastball, yet his changeup was unhittable.
He finally showed up as being the stud that he is.
Two more thoughts, and then I'll let you go. McKinstry's hitting .311. Wow. And then if you can get McKinstry on first, whether he walks, which his on-base percentage is above 700 right now. He's walking a lot. He's hitting a lot. He went first to home in yesterday's game. And again, I've already talked about his speed. This is probably the third time I've done it in the last two pods. He is lightning quick. He is Quicksilver. He's Mercury. I don't know what to say, but he just flew. And there's not many players that on that particular play you'd be that comfortable with sending home. And there was no doubt, even though the throw got there, the entire stadium, the ump, the Padres catcher all knew he was going to beat it. Last thing, going back to game two by the bullpen, Tyler Holton, my guy, is a large human.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, he is. He looks like he could be an NFL tight end.
Yeah. Got tree trunks for legs. Yeah,
that's what I've got for you. I've got a couple bad, but I want to hear your question first.
No. Do the bad, and then we're going to cap it with my question because it's a good way to walk it off.
Okay. I don't have a lot of bad. The Tigers just took 2 out of 3 from what was, and I still think is one of the top three teams in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Where that puts the Tigers, I don't know. I just looked at the ESPN rankings that were updated today. They were 9th last week. The Tigers are still 9th this week. I'm not going to throw anything to it. They're 25-10. The season is 15% over, and they're in first place a half game ahead of the Cleveland Guardians, and that's all we can ask for.
There's no complaints. Exactly.
Nothing. Justin Henry Molloy was...
Wait, did you say they're 25-10 or 15-10?
Oh, 15-10.
15-10. 15-10. Yeah, 15-10. That's right. You give us the other 10 games. We'll take them. That's fine.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. And then Justin Henry Molloy was kind of in a slump, but he brought it up because he had 2 hits and a solo dinger yesterday. So he's now at .208. Again, his on-base percentage is what's keeping him in the lineup. Keith got a day off. He is at .188, and I'm real concerned. As we've mentioned before, and then
I think he's going to be a season-long project at this point. I don't think we're going to see any improvement till July.
Yeah, and then Jace Young hasn't gotten a hit yet, so he's.
I'm actually based on what we have to play the spot over there. Jace played good defense this past week. Played great defense. As long as he keeps doing that, I'm fine if the bat's slow to come along here. We got enough guys doing damage at the moment. Let Jace and Colt figure some things out. Keep Jace in there for his bat or his glove and move along from there and not put too much pressure on the young guys. Yeah, that's my take on that.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Last thing for you is this.
Yes.
And Riley Green is figuring it out, but he still looks a little puzzled at times. One thing I did notice, though, because I did get to go to warm-ups Tuesday night, he might be the most calm, cool professional that I've ever seen. He warms up in a relaxed manner. He throws in a relaxed manner. He jokes in a relaxed manner. So I have nothing but confidence that he is going to find his way out of whatever's maligning him and go forward from there. So I'll, all told, 15 and 10. My apologies on giving him 10 more wins. Let's hope.
No, yeah.
But things are looking really, really up for the squad. And there's really, I mean, the bullpen's lights out. The starting pitching's great. I mean, if I can preview a little bit, I mean, they're facing the Orioles, who have lost three straight, to the Nationals, who are not necessarily a powerhouse.
Sure.
I am going to call them the Natty Bo O's. And that is a shout out to some Baltimore brethren I have.
Okay.
Natural Bohemian is their Stroh's or beer of choice.
Sure.
And so Natty Bo O's, their logo is awesome. It looks like the Pringles guy, but he's winking. So think the Pringles guy, but he's winking. And their pitching is an absolute train wreck. They have not announced their starters. All I can tell you is this. We have Mize going tomorrow. We have Jackson Jobe going Saturday. And then we've got Scoobs going Sunday. I like our chances.
Yeah, I like that.
Go forward with your question.
I like how that all sets up. So you had sent me a text about hot dogs. What? Give me the Copa hot dog situation. What is going on in the Copa cuisine hot dog area? You know how I feel about my hot dogs.
Yeah, yeah. And but our listeners don't, so I'm going to open this
I will give you my take on hot dogs after you tell me how you felt about these hot dogs.
I'm going to bring you out of the pen and let you close this down after I make my comment.
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
So one of my game partners who wished to remain nameless because he did play hooky from work went to get a dog and two beers for us. They were Modelo's. They were ice cold. They were delicious. He ordered a ballpark Frank that was grilled.
Okay. And not steamed.
No. And put every topping that was available, which was mustard, ketchup, relish, and still could barely chew his way through it. And my only feedback is, unless the Illich family owns Ballpark Franks, I did the little homework when I got home. Ballpark Franks aren't served at any other ballpark.
I think they've been at Tiger Stadium forever, though, for some odd reason.
They've been at Tiger Stadium. They've been at Comerica.
I think I've seen them in Tigers games forever with Ballpark Frank.
And you don't have to eat the Ballpark Frank there. They have plenty of other options. They have Coney Dogs. They have Eckridge sausages. They have bratwurst. They have all sorts of
Polish. Your encased meats are covered.
That means go to Slow's Barbecue. It was delicious.
Yeah.
Or go do the Coney Challenge like Cousin Nick and I did.
I have a
please
special affinity for a ballpark hot dog done the right way.
Okay. Let's hear it
I'm not as finicky about the actual meat itself. To me, many of them taste somewhat the same. Okay. It's more in the preparation. A proper ballpark hot dog. Are you okay?
A proper
ballpark hot dog. You're laughing because you've been with me and you know how I do this. But this is the deal. A proper ballpark hot dog does not get churned on a grill and seared up. And it has nothing to do with flames or open flames. They're steamed. And then they're taken from the steamer and put into a very... what I like to call a Wonder Bread bun, okay? Nothing with any consistency or grains in it, but just Wonder Bread. They're then rolled tightly into tinfoil, packaged tightly into tinfoil, and they're laid in a tank, usually a metal tank carried by the vendor, like little babies in a row, all packed in tight into the tank, as tight as you can get them. What this does is it compresses the meats and the breads together inside of the steamy foil. By the time you get this thing, it's all fused together. It's beautiful. It's kind of a wet, It's kind of like if, you know, Joey Chestnut does the hot dog contest and he dips his dog in water before he goes and takes it down.
He doesn't dip the dog. He dips the bun.
The bun. He dips the bun in the water before he takes it down. This steaming process, when they're all nestled in there together, does this for you in a way. So it's not soaked, but it's damp. And that is how I like it. And I don't put anything on it. I eat it bare as a baby's butt. You don't put anything on a ballpark dog. You take it out of the foil. You eat it bare as a baby's butt. It's delicious. You appreciate the fused flavors. Secondarily, I have to be able to stuff them in my short pockets because I like to get three or four of them at a time. And I take them and I stuff them in my short pockets and I go back to my seat with them. If I'm not clipping the vendor for my fifth or sixth one of the game, there is a story if we go all the way back. Probably what? It was County Stadium. Right before Miller Park became a thing in Milwaukee, we went on a little road trip up to County Stadium in Milwaukee, and we saw the Brewers and the Cubs, and it was raining. It was a miserable day. It was like 48 degrees. It was raining. It was we're out in the bleachers of this dumpy ballpark that looked like you were sitting inside of a tin can. There was like aluminum siding here. It was bizarre.
The shadows had shadows at that ballpark.
My word. But we decided to get through this game. In the miserable conditions, it was still a baseball game, so it was still wonderful. We were going to try to do a dog and a beer every inning. I ate the dogs the way that I like them. You know that. We had Miller High Life or some whatever Milwaukee signature beer they were serving at the time. One beer, one hot dog, 9 innings. The damn game went into extras. And we kept it going through the 10th inning. And then the game ended mercifully in the 11th inning. But did a beer and a dog. And I tell that story with pride. I think that's something to hang on the mantle of life.
Yeah. Actually, hindsight being 2020, we really probably should have gotten you a plaque, a trophy, a badge of some type of honor. So
that was probably necessary. I will tell you this now. If you don't buy and you're sitting here, you don't eat a dog. Go the next time you're at the ballpark, get a dog and just eat it bare naked. Not you bare naked, the dog bare naked. And enjoy it and really soak in the steamed, fused flavors of the bun and the meats.
Or do it Jim Bob Cooter. Wasn't he the one that ordered drive-through, the Lions offensive coordinator that ordered drive-through naked? So you could order hot dogs naked.
It's draft night. I mean, that story's bound to come out, right?
All right, one real quick.
Yeah.
Before we go, let's just, I mean, we are Lions fans as well.
Yeah.
It's a Detroit podcast, although Tigers will probably morph into Lions at some point.
At some point.
They're both kitties, right?
Sure.
And I am excited for the draft. Are you excited for the draft?
I'm very excited for the draft. Of course I'm excited for the draft.
Please.
Oh, gosh. There's a very good chance they make a trade at this point.
Ooh, I like that.
I just don't know if they're going to get what they want or need, even though Brad says need has nothing to do with it. I don't know if they're going to get what they want in the spot they're in. And I think they got some power here in the draft. I think they got a couple guys they can use to trade up. I don't know that J-Mo gets you like a top 10 pick, but if they package him with a pick, they take their first and then J-Mo and maybe a second, they might get up in there. I don't know.
So I've got a take there that J-Mo might get packaged.
Going to get packaged. I could see it happening. I mean, in all honesty, I don't know. He's in his last year of his deal, his rookie deal. Do we want to pay? I think he's already alluded to the fact that it's going to take a king's ransom to keep him around. And to be honest, he's fast. I'll give you that. Doesn't adjust very well to the ball on the deep ball, but he's fast. I'd like to see them use him in this fashion. I'd like to see him trade him and possibly get an edge guy, something for the defense up top there in the first couple picks if they can. If they can. Takes two to tango.
One particular player that you like, the Lions came away with this guy tonight in the first round, I'm good. Or like a couple players, is it Abdul Carter or Bust?
Like Carter is like my guy. Okay. Number one would be Abdul Carter.
Of course.
You get the Penn State guy, have him play across from Hutch. My goodness.
Jeez.
Don't excite me too much.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Okay. What do you think about, and I don't think he's going to be available, I don't think he's reachable, but like Travis Hunter?
Again, it's in the Carter category. I mean, it serves...
It's like pie in the sky, right?
Yeah, but it serves so many needs because can you imagine him in our offense and then can you imagine him playing across from Terrion Arnold?
Yeah.
Amik Robertson and Brian Branch and the newly signed Kirby Joseph? Like, or recently.
I mean, you think he's going to be a two-way in the NFL?
Who knows? But I'm just saying, as a nickelback, you could do a lot worse than Travis Hunter on, you know, second and long, third and long situations. So, I mean, that would be, wow. Man, I mean, you really have me going there. I mean, you had me excited with Abdul Carter.
I think Abdul Carter would be my like prize if we get if we could find a way to work that out. I don't even know how to. And if they do sit down there in their spot and they don't trade up, I hope they go linebacker at that point. I just think we can get more value. I think it's a fairly deep edge draft, so maybe they get somebody in the second round that could do some damage.
What I've read is it's very deep on the defensive line, running back.
Yeah.
And then tight end, which is not a position of need. And I cringe every time a team takes a tight end in the first round. I know it worked very well for Brock Bowers and the Raiders last year. I know it's worked unbelievable for Sam Laporta and the Lions. Yeah. That being said,
it's a rarity.
I still cringe when Eric Ebron was taken.
I know.
There were so many other needs.
You're scarred.
I just, I can't get over it.
You're scarred. All right. So what do you want to see him do? What do you want to see the trade? Do you want to see the stick?
I think the safest thing. Well, no, I'd love a trade up. Are you kidding me?
All right, that's where we're at then.
I'd love a trade down.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go. This is my money. I think Gray Zabel, center guard, North Dakota State, is probably who they wind up with.
Okay,
he can apparently play all five offensive line positions, so he suffices the need for the tackle, guard, center, and he also happens to be a college teammate of the Lions offensive line coach's son. So Hank Fraley, the offensive line coach's son, played with Gray Zabel. Zabel. So they've got familiarity with him.
Okay.
We'll see.
I don't know. I think they're going to go defense in the first round regardless, but maybe you're right. You could be right on that. I mean, they have a need there. They need an O-lineman, so I'm never mad at an O-lineman in the first round. It's the least sexy thing in the world, but at the same time, it's probably the smartest thing to do at some point when you just don't have a glaring need at a quarterback, running back.
It's also very Brad Holmesy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The other thing, I guess, if I could ask you one last question, because I think we'll just include this as a bonus now at this point.
Just keep it running.
Might they do the crazy and draft a receiver? Like, just what happens if, like, the top receiver, and I don't know if it's T-Mac, I don't know if it's Matthew Golden from Texas, I don't know if it's Mbuke, or
I don't disagree with Ohio State. Don't disagree with it. I'd like to see him get somebody with some size.
Yeah, the guy from Ohio State apparently is, like, a very similar to...
Yeah, and I don't know that... Look, you give me another St. Brown, I'm not going to argue, okay? But we kind of need a guy who can go up and get the ball, if you know what I mean.
I meant size-wise. I mean, if you had two St. Browns out there, you could do a lot worse than that, you know? Sure. I think what we're saying, though, is regardless whether he's moved now, the writing's probably on the wall for Jameson Williams.
I kind of hope it is, in a way.
Really?
Yeah. I'll throw that out there.
I feel like they've been patient
with
him.
He's just not the guy I want to be paying.
Well, no. I don't see that.
And you got to get something for him. I mean, this is the best time to cash in on that.
A year early, though?
Which is why everybody's talking about it.
Including us.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Good. Good touching on football. That was great. Way to loop that in.
Perfect. All right.
All right, man.
Hey, by the way, last closing thought. Go Pistons.
Go Pistons. Go Lions in the draft. Tigers beat the Orioles. Let's do it.
We'll talk to you all on Sunday night.
Adios.